not so bad in Venice. There are worse toffees out there. You know, Nescafe. Shkoyech. Daf Lamed Amud Beis. Right? We are at the top. We've just been talking about how they gave the tamid, the animal that was a korban tamid, to drink from a glass cup.
Golden
cup, excuse me. Not glass, yes, yeah. Golden cup, thank you. And we harked back to the Gemara a couple of days ago where the question was, is that in fact an exaggeration or is that totally serious? Yes.
Sorry, I wasn't here for the.
That's fine.
To ask the question. Is there some significance between exaggerations and the number 300?
It's a big number.
Because every single exaggeration was 300.
300 Kohanim. What were the other two?
Both of them were 300 Kohanim. Okay. To carry the paroche, to the paroche.
Oh, that's what you meant, yeah.
To carry the thing, and 300, and 300, the amount was 300.
What is that? But it's like 820,000 bread.
Don't know, I haven't thought about it. I don't think there's definitely no significance. I don't know of any significance.
Okay,
cool. Okay. Afal pisha hu mevukar mi be'erim, mevakar noisoyle or avukois. Even though you checked it, mevukar, remember, we're talking about checking the korban talmid to make sure it has no mum. It has to be checked for 3 days prior because of zeres hapasa. That a korban tamid, exer shavu with korban with the Pesach Mitzrayim, because only Pesach Mitzrayim gets weekly, right? So even though it was mevukar eri, you checked it yesterday during the day by daylight. By the way, what do we usually prefer to do things by daylight or not prefer to do things by daylight?
Generally not by daylight.
No, we usually do prefer to do things by daylight. Everything is better by daylight. You can see better by daylight. There's a klal gadol in halacha bichlal. Right.
I thought it's good to use a fire at night so you can get into all the nooks and crannies.
Think why? Because is there any light in the nooks and crannies if you don't use a candle? There you go.
But that seems to imply.
It's literally, the sunlight doesn't reach there, but the Beit HaMikdash, everything's happening outside, so. Right? Better to use daylight, even so, even though you did it yesterday, you will now check it. Remember, it's still dark, right? It's not light yet. How do I know it's not light yet? Or at least not properly light. Why would what would have happened if it was? Exactly, we would have already been if it was already dawn at the current time, we would have already been brought. Right? So we check it using torchlight. We check it again, make sure that there's no mum. Misha Zacha Bedishun Mizbacha Mizbacha Pnimi Uvedishna Menura Hayu Magdimin. So the whoever got the job of clearing the ash off Mizbacha Pnimi, which is the Mizbach Hazav, what's brought on the Mizbach Hazav, do you remember? Duress, very good. And the menorah, cleaning out the cups in the menorah so that we can relight them. Discuss this in a minute, right? They would go in now, right? And Dalet, Kelim, Beyond, they would be carrying four things. Hateni, Vehakos, Veshnei, Mafdechos. So they would be carrying, excuse me, in their hands, right? Hateni. What's Hateni? I'm sorry?
Bronze vessel.
Did you say Barzel is bronze? Yes. Okay, so it's like a steel vessel, right? What's a cause? Sorry? What are you talking about?
Is it Nechoshe bronze?
Nechoshe is copper.
Copper. So it may have been copper.
The point is that it's not. We don't care. Well, the point is that we don't care what it is, right? Okay. What's it? Do we know? Do we know what a kuz is? I don't know why you'd be sure. I don't know why you'd be sure of that. I'm trying to remember.
I thought you were asking us because it was mentioned.
No, I was checking if you've got it on enough. I don't remember right now. Just a minute.
I don't know.
Why am I doing this? This is a stupid way of doing it. Just a minute. I am checking it now. Okay, so the teni is some sort of dish that was going to be used to receive things. What's it going to receive?
ash.
Very good. The cause is a kisoin. It's something used to pour the ash into the teni, sort of an in-betweenly. And shnei maftechos. What are the keys? Four.
The smaller door and the bigger
door. Sorry? Right. To open the little doors, yeah. Very good. Okay. I have lost my place, just a minute. There we go. Right. We'll stay with that. Tani doimel esikra the sirkav shel zav machzik kabayim v'chetzi. It's similar. Similar to a sirkav, so basically a kli which is made from zav to a golden kli, right? Which can hold kabayim v'chetzi. Can hold. It's a certain measure. It's fairly large, right? Hakuz doimel kisa and godol shel zav. It's similar to a pouring implement for zav, right? Right. Something you can pour liquids out of. Right, that's what it was shaped like some sort of jug or something, right? They would open different doors. The one was to open. The second. Oh, he's saying that the reason why he held two keys is because that way he could put the two keys into the door at the same time. Apparently the door carried. Apparently the door had two keyholes. Okay. So it says Baloi le Pishpei Shatzvoni. Baloi arrives at a very small door, which is in the north of what?
The
Very good. There were two small gates to the side of the big gate of the Heichal. One was to its north, one was to its south. Right. The northern one never used. Right. I love him for Rosh Hashanah Chetzkel, and it was, and about it was said. Oh, maybe this is the Azara. Wait. Just a minute. Maybe I'll be forced to take that back. Oh, I remember. Yes, these are the doors of the Heichal. I don't know why I confused myself there, right? These are the doors of the Heichal. Right, one was in north. One was there were basically three doors. One was a big gate, which is the one they have to open so that they can bring korbanos. The other two, the north. There was one a little bit to the north of it, which was the one they used to get into the Heichal. This is essentially maintenance work, right? Right. And the southern one was never opened, and the Yecheskel said about them about that one. Shneimar vayomer el Hashem hashara de saguria lo yifta lo yiposeach veish al yavoi boy ki Hashem elokei Yisrael ba boy vayasagor.
Where were these two?
I'm sorry.
I'm a bit confused. Where were these two doors?
In the Heichal.
In the Heichal.
I mean. There's a big door to the Heichal, which is the door to the Heichal, right, which would be open so they could bring korbanos. The Eastern Wall, excuse me. The Eastern Wall, right? And then to its north there was one little gate, and to its south there was another little gate.
Oh, within the same wall?
I think so, it sounds like that, yeah.
It doesn't portray that in the pictures.
Sorry?
Only in the picture is one big.
Okay, now, and that door always stays closed. Why? But it says that no man, it can never be opened, no man can go through it. Right? Why? Because God, Hashem, the God of Israel, walks through it.
It's like that bell is laying a door, I think, for the Rebbe or something, right? Isn't there something like that?
Yeah. I do believe, and I'm not certain, so I'm just going to ask, that you just compared Yechezkel to Bell's Hasidus?
No, I'm saying they're laying a door.
They might have gotten it from here, I have no idea, but I hope that they didn't.
No.
Yeah, it's explicit in the Yecheskel, this door. The pasuk before was Vayoshev iti derech shara mikdash hachitzon hapoinei kadim. Behusagor. Right, and so it points eastwards. It's on the eastern wall. So it must be just to the south. Okay. Natal es hamafteach. He took the mafteach. Pasach a special place. He opened this little gate. Venichnas lehata, and he entered. Ata means literally itself. Right, he entered the little room that is behind this door. What is that? We've discussed it. The ulam, right, where they kept the kohanim stuff. Right. Umehata lehechal, and from there you would enter the heichal itself. Ad shem magiel ashar gadol, until you reach the big gate, right, which is the main gate of the heichal. Higiel ashar gadol, and where the main gate. Hevir es hanagar avesapasachos upesachos. So he would remove what are the nagar and the pesachos. I'm sorry.
Watchman.
Okay, so the nagar. Is does anyone know what nagar is in modern Hebrew?
Nagar.
Mm-hmm. What is a nagar in modern Hebrew?
I'm not holding.
Sorry?
I'm not holding.
Okay. So a nagar is a carpenter.
A what?
It's a carpenter.
A carpenter.
Meaning this is a beam that was across the inside of the door. The door could only be opened within because it was barred by a beam. Right, to keep it closed, post-a-host, they were the things you used to remove that beam. So he'd remove all the stuff so it's out of the way, and then he'd open the doors of the heichal. Yeah?
Yeah. From the inside.
Yeah.
And what's that post-a-host?
You would use. I think there are things you would use actually to open, to remove the beam.
So these are the bigger doors. So he enters through the smaller door, and then he goes in, and then he.
The big doors can't be opened from outside because they're barred by a beam. There's no way to open them. Right? He would not. The shoicheid, the person who's in charge of Shechem Tamid, wouldn't do so until he hears the doors opening. Right, from Yericho already they could hear this. They could hear these doors opening. They made such a great noise that in Yericho they could hear it. Where's Yericho?
East.
Four.
East. Northeast, right? On the banks of Jordan. It's a long way away.
Yeah.
Mirichai Hayushoima in Kol Magrefa. We'll talk about this more in a minute. Right? From Yericho they could hear the voice of the Magrefa. The Magrefa is a musical instrument. Right? Miricho Hayushoimin Kol Ha'etz She'asa Ben Kotin Muchni Le'Kior. They could hear the Kior being raised and lowered. Right? Remember we discussed that Ben Kotin made a Muchni, a base for the Kior, so that it could be lowered into the ground so that the waters wouldn't become possible in it. Everybody remembers this? Okay? So that mechanism, they could hear it being operated so the Kior would be raised in the morning and lowered at night.
Alex, I think you skipped along.
Did I?
We read, I think, Ben Arza, I believe.
Kol Ben Arza Machish Putzala.
Oh, I'm sorry. We, by the way, have to hear. Apparently, Mirchai Hayu Shoymin Kol Ben Kol Asher. I'm sorry. Mirchai Hayu Shoymin Kol Ben Arza Meikish Bitzalatzal. So they would hear the voice of Ben Arza, which is a person, right? Meikish Batzalatzal is banging. What's a tzalatzal?
Ring.
Sorry.
The ring bell.
Why?
To call everyone to work. I don't know.
Sorry?
I don't know. To start the day.
Yeah, something like that. I'm actually not certain. So it's like, it's an interesting question. Why exactly does this need to be done? I'm just checking now. I don't remember anybody addressing why it is that they did this. I assume it's just to announce that the day is starting, in case like somebody's missing all the other very loud noises that are being made. Anyway, Tov. Mirichoy Hashemin Kol Achalil. They could hear the flutes. They could hear the music, right? Mirichoy Hashemin Kol Gavine Karuz. From Yericho, they could hear the Kol Gavine. Again, Gavine is a kohen. It's a man. and he would yell that it's morning in the mikdash. So in Yericho they could hear this. Miricho Shomen Kola Eich Asa Ben Katin Milkir. They could hear the mechanism being operated to raise and lower the kira, like we said. They could hear the singing of the Levim. Miricho Shomen Kol Shoy Hashayfar. They could hear the shofar that was blown with the korbanos. V'yesh Omer, and there are those who say Af Koloshal Kol Gadam B'Shalshu Mazkir Hashem Yom Kippur. They could also hear the Kohen Gadol saying Hakadosh Baruch Hu's name on Yom Kippur. They could hear, they could in Richo they could smell the Ktoris. Right. Amarabi Elazar ben Daglai. Rabbi Elazar ben Daglai, whatever it was, right? Izim Hayula Abba Be'Aria Mechvar. They were around the in the Jordan Valley. He had goats in those cities, right? And they vayu mitzat shoyt. They would sneeze because of the smell of the ktoris. Agav, the Gemara in Yuma says that women in Yericho didn't bother wearing perfume as they could smell the ktoris so clearly there. I don't know why. I don't know what's so funny.
We just wait till we get to the end of Gittin if you think this is funny.
I have no idea why it's funny. I understand why it's strange. I don't understand why it's funny.
Yeah, they like sneezed. Like the Gemara is talking about sneezing goats.
It's not getting good, but okay. Okay, fine. Note. What is going on in this Gemara? In this Mishnah? What exactly is this? What is this? So the Ravid on this Mishnah, the Miuchas Ravid, it's not the real Ravid, it's probably a Baal Tosis, whatever, somebody in Germany. But the Miuchas Ravid here claimed that what it is you could... the sound doesn't travel all the way to Yericho. And the smell doesn't travel all the way, like, garnished. No. That's what I would have said. No, that's not what he's saying. I mean, that story about the sneezing goats is hard to say. That's an exaggeration already. Like that's already very very specific. No, he says that there was a because Yericho was the first place to be conquered in Eretz Yisrael. There was a connection between Yericho and Yerushalayim.
Which is like a nice.
Yeah. So Kadosh Baruch Hu brought the sounds of, and the smells and the feeling of the Mikdash and Yerushalayim to Yericho.
Let's be honest. I mean, regardless whether it was just Yericho or like it was like just general, both ways it would have been a nice. It's like both ways actually.
Yes, but then Marshall. But the point is that his claim is it's not that you could hear it all the way. You couldn't. It's specifically in Yericho because it was the first place to be conquered by Yerushalayim.
And it's kind of like if you're between Yericho and Yerushalayim, you wouldn't hear it.
Or you wouldn't smell the tourists and so on and so forth. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Derek Agav, I know of somebody. I don't know if it wants to be published. I won't say, but I know of somebody who actually, obviously not with intention to make Torahs, but made something which has ongoing the same recipe as the Torah described in the Quran, right? And he said, "What?
Mistake on?
No, really. You wanted to see." But it's much to do it if you don't do it for Torahs. If you just do it, you know, just make it. He said the smell is incredibly strong.
Right.
Yeah.
Can we do a practical?
I mean, you can if you want to. I don't care. Right. Misha Zacha, I'm sorry.
It's smell, yeah.
I don't know.
And you ask this person.
I mean, it's meant to smell beautiful. I don't know. I didn't ask him if it smells good, but he said it was incredibly
maybe
small.
Maybe herbs change smell over time.
I'm sorry.
Maybe the herbs have changed smell over time.
Well, I'm not gonna say it's physically impossible. Why would you think that's true? Whoever has the s'vus, the privilege of shechting korban tamid, would pull it. The holich be beis mitzvahim, and he would go to the place in the azara, which was it was called the beis mitzvahim, so they shechted the animals. Whoever the people who were meant to carry the various limbs of the korban tamid, they would go with them. Beis mitzvahim was in the north of mitzvah. Why was it in the north? Why is it important that the Beis HaMitbachayim be in the north?
That's where the door is.
I'm sorry?
Is that where the door is?
The door? What's the to do with the door?
That's where the fire is.
The fire is on the Mizbech.
On the north of the Mizbech?
The east of the Mizbech.
Northeast.
The east. We already covered this. It was in the Mishnah. because the Kodesh Kadoshim have to be shechted in the north. Right, so where are you going to set up your Shechita center? In the north? No? Right, ve'alav ches amudim nanasum nanasim urevoim shel erez al gabehem. Okay, and in that, in this basement behind, in this place they set aside for the shechting, there were eight columns, right? Eight columns. There were nanosim. There were. Where is my Rashi? Nanosim are, I think, hooks, if I remember correctly. And revoim shel erez al gabehen. Just a minute. What does this mean again? No, nanasim is not hooks. Ugh. I'm trying to remember what exactly this meant. There are four amudim, and there are little wooden sticks that go into these pillars, little metal little poles that go into these pillars, right? And then there are there are beams that go between them, right? We'll see why in a second, right? There are basically four of these beams that go between pairs of the columns. Ve'un kali yisher b'alzay yikuvin man, and there were hooks. There were steel hooks that were hanging from these beams. Ve'gimul storim lekol echad ve'echad shebohen tolin. Right, and there were three sets of hooks in each of these beams, so that you'd hang things from them. Right. Umachshitin al shulchanos shel shay shebein amudim, and then they would skin the animals on marble tables that were situated between the amudim, between these pillars, right? They needed to be able to hang stuff in the process of skinning the animal, which is why they had this whole mechanism set up. Right, that was the point of it. Whoever was meant to clean up the mizbeach pnimi, the golden mizbeach, would go in, he would take this steel kli, or maybe it was a basket, according to some Rishonim, right? And they would place it, he would place it down on the ground in front of the mizbeach. And he would basically shovel all the ashes from this Be'ach Pnimi into this kli. And then after he's shoveled the sort of piles of ashes, then he would sort of sweep the rest off, whatever wasn't shovelable because it wasn't easy to get to, right? And then he would leave it, and he would leave. Whoever was meant to clean the menorah, Nichnas umatza beiz neiros maravis dolkin. Right, he would come into the heichal, and he would find always the two western candles of the menorah still burning. Right, medashen esashar, they would burn for longer. Why?
Western.
The two westernmost. Okay, firstly. The two westernmost candles are closer or further away from the Kodesh Kodashim?
Closer.
How do you know?
I'm just taking a guess.
What end of the Heichal is the Kodesh Kodashim?
West.
So you know, because if they were the westernmost, and they were obviously closer than the easternmost candles to the Kodesh Kodashim. No?
Sorry.
Very good. Okay, the Gemara in Yuma, what is going on here? The Gemara in Yuma says that this is a reference not to what happened all through all the time by Shani. Okay, first up, would you expect two candles to burn, but to burn more than the other five? There are seven candles on the menorah.
It depends how much oil you put into
it. Ah, very good. But you put the same amount of oil in all the candles.
No.
You would expect them to last. Maybe would learn, burn the longest. So which one do you want to do? Which one do you light last? Either the easternmost or the third one from the west. One or another. Not the two westernmost ones. Right, so why do they burn the longest?
Because they are sustained by the
ruach of the Kodesh Avodah.
So it's a mix, right? The Gemara in Shabbat says that the Ner Ma'arovi is a siman lechol ba'i olam. Right, the menorah is a siman lechol ba'i, a sign for everybody in the world that the Shekhinah is in the Mikdash. The Gemara says, what does it mean, the menorah? The Ner Ma'arovi, right? The westernmost candle. We're going to define that in a second. Why the westernmost candle? Because it was lit the longest. Now, the Gemara in Yuma says the Ner Ma'arovi isn't the westernmost candle, even though that's what it sounds like. It's actually the second from the west. It burnt the longest, but for it to be a Ner Ma'arovi, the other one had to be burning as well. Kitzur, Ayin Shaman, the Gemara. Right, those two. Now, in addition, we have, we'll talk about the order of lighting the candles of the menorah, that's going to come up, and that's going to come up right, basically now. Right, but anyway, he would clean out, those were still burning when the kohen came in. By the way, when is the kohen coming in? Is it dawn yet or not?
Not yet.
So it's dawn, it's already been dawn, right? How do I know? What has for sure already happened?
Oh yes, the
Here at Pnei Mizrach, Ad Shebi Yerichon, right? So it's for sure been dawn. Is it sunrise? No, not yet. Right, we haven't shechted the Korban Talmud yet. Rabbeinu Tam says we're dafka waiting for sunrise to shecht the Korban Talmud. Most of the other Rishonim don't agree with that. Fine, but the point is, it's not yet fully light, right? And it's not sunrise. The amount of oil they would put in the menorah was the same for every single candle. It was enough so that even in nights of Teves, which are the longest nights of the year, the menorah would burn for the entire night. Right, they would do that all year round. But even so, the westernmost candle would always stay the second from the west would always stay lit the longest. Okay, this is a nice that happened because of Shimon HaTzadik. It stopped happening when Shimon HaTzadik died. So the Gemara and Yuma, I think, remember something says. Okay.
Cool.
Fine. So he will then clean out the other five, right? And he would leave these two to continue burning. If they haven't gone out, don't put them out, right? Matzah Ansha Kabul. If he found out that something terrible has happened, we don't have the miracles of Shimon HaTzadik, and they've gone out. Medashnan umadikin minat ochen. Then he would clean them out and relight them from the candles which are still lit. And then he would clean out the other five. The Evan Heights lived near the menorah, and there was a stone in front of the menorah. Uvah Gimel Melos, and it had three steps to it. Shalein Kohen Gadol Omid, Kohen Omid, or Meitiv Tzaneres, because the Kohen would stand on that platform, right, to fix up the menorah. So the menorah was a little bit too tall for him to be able to do that easily, at least, right? And he would put the kuz, which is the thing which was like a tipping instrument, right, which we discussed, on the second step, and he would leave. Hadran alach amar lahem ha memune. I'm sorry? Mishnah in the third paragraph, right? Lo yihayu kofzin es hatalah, they wouldn't bind the goat. Ella ma'akit, they wouldn't kofzin, they wouldn't tie it all together and take away. They would do an akeda with the talah, right? They would tie it up in a different way. They will. They wouldn't. Basically, what they do. They wouldn't. What would they not do? They wouldn't bind all four limbs together. Right. The normal way you check an animal is you bind all four limbs together so it can't move at all. They wouldn't do that. They would tie basically one arm, one front leg and one rear back leg together on either side. Like they try to tie the front and back leg together, but they wouldn't tie all four together. Okay. Why? Makidin.
Ah, Akidat Yitzchak.
Very good. Misha Zachu Ba'i Barer Nechzimbo, whoever was meant to be carrying the limbs to the Mizbeach, would hold on to the brute. Vechachayaki, that's it, and this is how they would tie it. Roshoy ledorim, its face would be to the south. Upanav lemeirav, and its face would be facing the west. Why? Very good. And since in the north, it has to be facing its face, its head has to be southwards from the rest of its body, right? So it's actually facing the south, not facing in some random direction, right? Here's a question. Why didn't you just face it east-west? So that its face, fair head would just be facing the Kosher Kedoshim. Why are you facing it north-south and pointing its face towards the west? I'm sorry? It's already in the north.
Also, the person shechting also should be facing the Atzmon. Presumably, you've got to check the side. The person shechting also be able to see the Kosher Kedoshim.
Mannion. Interesting. The Gemara in Yuma says it doesn't do a poo facing east-west. To a poo facing east west, that's not respectful. Okay. It's true, the Gemara really does say that. I didn't make it up.
So the animal's not gonna poo.
No, the animal will poo, but we don't want it to do it while facing east west, because that's not respectful.
Oh, okay. That was like the animal.
No, the animal will poo, don't worry, that's exactly the problem. Right. Fine. So it says, the shochet is standing east of the animal, and it's facing towards, and he's facing towards the west. The korban tamid shel shachar of the morning would be shechted in the northwest. In the northwest of the taba'ith of the rings in the Beit HaMikdash, right? On the second ring, shall be nearby, the tavin shall be nearby, the tavin of the evening, I anishkat al kerimar rizrachitz munis, on the northeastern ring, al tabashni on the second ring. Why? Why northeastern and northwestern ring? Two corners, sorry. Well, the sun rises in which direction?
East.
So why would you then use the northwest? You're making a statement, this is dark enough for the sun.
It'll take the long,
No, you're getting away from the sun. You're saying we're not shechting to the sun. The sun is not our God, right? Somebody might think that the fact that you're basically tying it to the rising and setting of the sun would mean that you're treating the sun as a God. No, we're definitely going in the opposite direction. Yeah?
I thought each Mishmar had their own ring which they used to use.
Not for a carbon diamond.
Oh, is that the exception?
Yeah. But you are correct. Right? Fine. Shachat ha-shoichet. The shochet would shecht. Viki bel ha-mekabel and the mekabel, whoever was in charge of receiving the blood would receive it in a kli. Right? No, the blood must be received in a kli shoris. Right? The knife maybe needs to be a kli shoris, maybe doesn't. There's a machlokes rishonim about that. Right? Some rishonim think it needed to be a kli shoris, some rishonim think it doesn't need to be a kli shoris, because who do we know can also shecht an animal in the mikdash? Yeah, a czar, anybody, right? An isha, even a woman can, right? So we see absolutely anybody who's Jewish, right, can shecht a korban tamid, or any other korban for that matter, and therefore we except for maybe the korbanos on Yom Kippur, those it might be, I mean, the kongal has shecht them, and the machlokes rishonim. Right, during the whole year, anybody can shecht a korban, and so the Gemara says shlita lav avoidahi. Right, shaila, what's a shlita lav avoidahi? This leads to a machlokes Rashi Tosis. Do you need the knife to be a kli shoris? Oh, you've heard
before. Can it be wooden?
Very good. That's, can the knife in fact be wooden? Right. If it can be wooden, is that a raya that it can't? I mean, we possibly can. Is that if it can be wooden, does that mean it that it's not a kli shoris, or is it just a different kli shoris? Fine. All those cheshbonos there. Right. Lamaisa, you have to be mekabel hadam in a kli shoris lechol hadeus. If you say that the knife is not a kli shoris, that's because you need to be a kli shoris to be involved with the blood. Right. You need to be mekadesh the blood using a kli shoris. If the knife is a kli shoris, and you have to say there's two kiddushim, the Ritva and Yuma says that, right, there's two separate kiddushim of the blood. Fine. I think that's because how much blood? Rav Dani once said you need to catch all of the blood, right? So you would need, how big a clear are you going to need for a cow? A bathtub, right? Do you think they wheeled a bathtub around the Beit HaMikdash? Not that we've never heard of such a thing. The answer is you don't need to be covered with all of the blood. Right, you need to be covered in what's called dam ha-nefesh. Right, the blood that comes out while the animal's actually dying. Still a lot in a cow, but less.
Yo, yes, maybe when there's a shitter,
but still, less, right? You only need to get, you only need to receive in the kli the blood. In fact, you should only receive in the kli the blood, which is what's called dam ha-nefesh. It's the blood that the animal puts out while dying. That's the only blood that you use for the korban, right? So it's a lot of blood, but still, it's talking about not a bathtub, right? Lo ad kebekach, right? And it has to be klishoreis, and that's why probably you need a second kiddush, because we're talking about a subsection of the blood. Even if you had to use a klishoreis to check the animal, to mekadesh the animal, including all the blood that's in it, you clearly then need to mekadesh a certain section of the blood to throw on the mizbeach. In any case, right? Fine. He would come to the north eastern corner of the Mizbeach. Venoisein Mizracha Tzafona Maravis Dromis Venoisein Marava Daroma. He would then put a little bit on the eastern side of the Mizbeach, from the northeastern corner, a little bit on the northern side of the Mizbeach. Right? Then he would go around to the southwestern corner. He put a little bit on the western side and a little bit on the southern side. That way he's getting all sides of the Mizbeach. Sorry? The Gemara said, the Mishnah calls this Shtaim Shein Arba. The two matanos that are really four, but you're getting them on four separate sides, even though it's really two actions. Right?
What?
Then you're flicking.
Oh, so he's doing one flick. One flick that reaches both sides.
Yeah.
That's quite a good flick.
Shiyari Hadam Haya Shefech Al Yesod Daromis, and then the Shiyari Hadam, what's left over from the blood, he would spill on the southern side. What's on the southern side of the Mizbeach?
See?
The gap? No.
The ramp, yeah.
The ramp, yeah.
The ramp is on the southern side. So he would pour the rest of the blood out on the southern side, on the base of the Mizbeach, on the southern side. I'm not certain why they daft went for a not northern, you know what I mean? That's clearly what's happening. I don't know. An interesting question, why?
Cool.
Fine. And we will continue with God tomorrow.